Okay.
We have one person on whose phone number ends in 8275. Who would that be?
Mark McConkie on the line.
Hey, Mark.
Okay.
All right, we've got a pretty busy agenda today, so I'm going to call the meeting to order at 9:02. And I'll ask for I'll make a motion to approve the agenda. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Kathy. And I'm going to make one amendment that we go into non-public at the end of the meeting to discuss employee issue and the beer issue. So. Do I have a second on the amendment to go into non-public?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. So Jay,
I sent an office to email. I sent an email to the office, and I copied you and Paula. I've got to be off at 10:30.
Oh.
I have a COVID test at 10:45, and it was the only spot I could get for the next 10 days. So. I don't know if that will throw a wrench into things or not.
Okay. All right. So we'll try to squeeze that in before you leave, Kathy.
Okay.
Hi, Chris. You're keeping your own. We just started the meeting. And so I'm going to jump immediately right here at the top of the agenda.
Hey, Jay, this is Paul. I'm going to mute, but there's a lot of interference on this call. It's like a bubbling sound. So anybody who's on who's not talking should mute their phone, please.
Okay. I just took my phone off speaker, so hopefully that helps.
Oh, that was it.
Okay. All right. Good.
That might have been it, but it stopped. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Great. Thank you. So the Reinhardt tank status. I'm going to turn the microphone over to Brad Jones of Jones and Beach. Brad, what do you got so far this morning?
Well, I know that. After our last meeting, Chris has gone out and done another site walk and looked at all the punch list items, and he developed a kind of an updated punch list for the, for what was done, what hasn't been done. And then there's a lot of items that can't be done until, spring of 2021, and then some of them are project completion items that are just, that are going to be at the tail end of the project. So, Chris, have you submitted that yet, or is that something that you?
Yeah, I sent the email out to everybody last night.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
So you should
have
a copy.
Yeah, you should have gotten that.
Yeah, we got it.
Yep.
So, I took a look at it, Brad. I'm just having Kelly Robitel, our DPW supervisor, take a look at it now, because I know Kelly had some specific issues that he wanted to address and did so with Chris. So I'll give Kelly a chance to read it because I think this is his first time seeing it. But and thank you very much, Chris, for putting that together. And we did get an email. Was it last week or this week? Was it before Thanksgiving or after? No, from a resident that was still complaining about boulders left this week?
It was Monday, yes.
Monday, okay. And I guess my question is, we almost need to be told which lot that is. I think we know what lot it is, but what rocks are they complaining were not there originally versus that which may be there now? They need to be identified, and they need to be identified by the homeowner. Chris, do you agree with that?
Yeah, they're going to have to actually meet us and show us, because, I mean, we went through, Jay, when we did the original walkthrough, and we spotted the loose rocks that had rolled out, and Jake had said he had got those out. So if there's additional ones, it's, going to have to take it as a rock-by-rock case, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. And so we see all the completed items, silt socks taken out, and the things left for this fall, and I'm going to defer to Kelly. There are a couple of things with regard to the road condition on Reinhardt, also at Briston Stock. So, Kelly, do you want to make
it? How you doing, Chris?
Hi, good morning.
Morning, Chris. Just when I talked to you the other day, I just kind of gave you that stuff off the cuff. I don't know if you had a chance to really write it down, but right now my bigger concern is that culvert that was abandoned on Briston Stock was the dead end. With that rain we just got, it was that ditch line filled up pretty high. It was just about crushing the road. That culvert was there for a reason. I know maybe Dawson thought the water would travel further down the road and hit the second pipe, but it's a lot of water. I don't know why it was abandoned. The inlet, I believe, is still there, but it's submerged in water. The outlet is completely unfindable. That's my number one issue. And we're out there repairing roads right now. We're grading Reinach, because the water is coming directly down the center of the road from the last rain. That there's really no crown or anything to that road. We're going to do what we can to that just to make it through the year, but we really need gravel added to this project, even if it's in the spring. There's so much gravel needed that I can't pull it from my gravel budget next year. We're going to have to really appropriate something to complete those roads. I know Dawson's been up there cleaning up certain things. He took the silt fence out and the hay bale and some other things. There's another water service in a paved ditch line. I don't know if this was part of the project or if it was done just between Dawson and Ian. Ian, do you know that one?
No.
Where you guys you cut the ditch, and it's the ongoing project there where there's that guy that lives way up on the hill and cut all the trees.
What do you know which house it is, Kelly?
I don't have the number, but it's on Briston Stock on the paved section with the paved ditch lines. You guys had to cut through the paved ditch to get up to the service.
But the paved is it right where the bleeder is?
Yep. Well, what's happening is the water's traveling down that paved ditch line and it's hitting the dirt just before the culvert and it's washing the dirt into the culvert. We can't pave now, but I don't know if that was part of the water project or if that's on you guys.
No, it would have been part of the water project.
Yeah, that culvert, I know Dawson's guys went back to clean the dirt off once and they damaged the inlet to that pipe. I don't know how I'm going to fix it because it's paved in there, so it's kind of a mess. But that typically fills up with leaves and anything anyway. It's a tough culvert anyway, but now it's even worse. So these are a couple of things that are serious problems. Other things are just the roads, but we, you know, nothing to cry about. I don't know if they need to be looked at and explained or how you want to go forward with it. I leave that up to you.
I know when I talked to Jake and... you know, when I walked with Dana on Reinach, he hadn't brought any gravel yet to replace on Reinach, and that was part of my punch list update, that he's supposed to be bringing in gravel on those low sections to get the water to get, you know, get the crown back. He said at the time the ground was frozen, but, I mean, now we're kind of into a frost-freeze-type cycle, and that's why I put it in as a fall-now list to get that done now. There was that one low spot with a puddle at the end of Briston Stock where the blow-off hydrant is.
Right.
For him to fill that, you know, fill that puddle in so it crowns and goes to either side. Those are the two big ones that I saw. I mean, it was kind of snowing after the meeting last week, so it was kind of hard to really see too much, but those jumped right out at me. Like I said, I talked to Jake after he got back and told him at least, if anything, just like we talked, is that have you give you a call and swing by and actually walk these again to get, you know, what you had as far as that culvert that he didn't do. Because I can't place it in my mind, but, you know, it's, I mean, if I need to come up next week and meet with you and Jake, that's fine too.
Yeah, I think we're past the point of fixing some of these things. I tried putting gravel down the other day, and it's just the sludge at this point. It's just muck. You can't really, unless you get into some good gravel, what we have here is unusable. We were going to try to pull some from Poland today, see if they have better material. But it's hit or miss. We're getting snow this weekend, 1 to 3, so they're saying. That could be the deadline. So I don't know. I think the roads, we're going to do what we can to Rimac, like I said, to make it passable. It's not going to be enjoyable, I'll say that. But I'm more concerned with that culvert. Because that in the spring, when we get the spring runoff, that culvert's going to be needed. Unfortunately, we're up against it now. I guess I've been saying that for months, but we're really up against it now. I'm going to leave it to the commissioners to figure this one out because I'm finished. I don't know where to go now.
Yeah. A couple of things I had too, Chris. In front of the existing pump house at Reinhardt, the old pump house, this past weekend, of course, we had a lot of rain. We had about 2 inches probably. And the way that the rain came down from on top of those tanks and then where the new tank is, there's a swale in front of the door of that old pump house. And last spring, Kelly and his crew cut a trough or a swale to take that water and dump it into a low spot beside the existing pump house, probably the size of a tractor trailer. And unfortunately, the rain this Monday night, filled up in front of the door because the swale that Kelly and his crew created last spring was actually filled in with debris from the construction site, rocks and gravel and such. So that became a problem where we got a skater alarm that there was a flood at the Reinhardt station. I took a ride up, and the water was a couple inches up on the door. And going into the pump station, there is a sump pump in the station. So it was being pumped out just to the left side of the entry door. And, of course, it was just puddling there and going right back into the pump house. So it was a continuous loop. And
you're talking about after this most recent rain, right, Jay?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I think we talked on that night, and we had that, we diverted that water yesterday, and it should be in good shape now, but we're going to have to do more to address that sump pump for over the winter.
Right, exactly, yeah, okay. All right. And the other thing I had a concern about, too, is if you go up around where the old existing road used to be, not that it's mapped or anything, but you were able to travel that road with a vehicle. I wouldn't want to bring a Corvette up there, but you were able to get around with a pickup truck fairly easy pretty much all times of the year. There was some puddles, but I've gone up there even in the springtime and was able to get through without getting bogged down in the mud. But I think what Dawson did behind the tank to that large area that was cleared for a lot of the construction buildings that were brought up, the temporary buildings, is that it's now been loamed and will be seeded in the spring. And I'm wondering, we've sort of lost our Class 6 access to drive around that loop because what's happening now, I see some vehicles have gone up there, probably some kids with some four-wheelers, and they're starting to do donuts in the mud. So we might want to consider at least establishing. There is a couple of piles of gravel up there. I'm not sure what it's for. Maybe it is for reestablishing the road, but we probably should keep that Class 6 road the way it was. At least it was passable. Right now, it's someone's probably going to definitely get bogged down in the mud. So I wanted to bring that up as well.
Yep, that's on my list. That's item 16.
Yeah, I see that. Yep.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Yeah. No, I looked at that with Dana and went over with him. What it is they didn't tow the slope off on the inner side of the road. They carried the slope to the outer side. So so that needs to get, you know, leveled off and you know, re-graveled or something. Like I said, it's not for a Corvette, but, you know, a pickup truck should be able to get through it.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
And then as far as the Ian, as far as in front of the Ryan Eich pump house, the existing one, is that something you're working with Jake on kind of cutting that ditch line out so it drains, or is that something I need to, you know, Jones and Beach needs to reiterate to Jake as a new item, because I didn't realize it the other day?
No, I don't believe this would have anything to do with Jay. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Jay. This has been an existing issue we've had for years at that pump house. Just because it's kind of built in a hole, and I don't know if you know, we had issues with it when the culvert plugged a couple years ago and had to do a temporary line, and the assumption was we'd get through it you know, with the new station, and we didn't have to really worry about it. But here we are coming back into winter, and obviously that's not the case. So I think we just need to go back to the way it was before, and you know, but I don't believe that's something on the project. But again, that might be that's certainly not something I've been in the conversation on. I was just intending to go up and spend an hour or two and run PVC off to the side of the building. But is that different than what you were thinking, Jay?
Yeah, I think I saw where there was some pretty large rocks, probably beach ball size, and some gravel that was pushed into the area that Kelly had once created a swale into that little spot.
Okay, so I don't know that. Are you on the same page with that, Kelly?
No, I'm on a different page. As you know, Ian, last spring we went through this. We go through it all the time.
Yep.
Needs to get across the road somehow. I know that culvert's unusable. It used to be there. We need to somehow get it back. Because that depression filled in last spring.
What we had happen... kind of go back through the history of this thing, is we had the comm errors on this tank, like whatever it was, 3 years ago or four or whatever, and it really expounded the issue over there, right? And that culvert has been plugged or unusable, essentially. It's crushed now. It's been crushed for 3 or 4 years, but even before that, just the pitch, it didn't always, work all that well. But all up until then, the water always went off kind of in front of where the tanks are and into what would have been like a third tank location, just a big pit in the ground. And that was always fine. We'd have some very, very minimal run back, but nothing, you know, I mean, if you had some real severe storms, but that was it. What happened is then we had the overflow from the tank and we had these flooding issues occur. And it just really, it was like, well, geez, this whole situation is just messed up. In reality, we can bring the water. You know, we don't have the expectation of having flooding situations throughout the winter on a consistent basis by any means. So if we bring it back to where it was running for the 25 years previous to that, I think that, you know, we're going to be fine to get through this winter with it. If that's not the case, we'll have to look into, I don't know, something with that culvert. Obviously it's right at ground level. We could, I don't know, I've thought about maybe trying to drive a pipe through it, or my dog, the concern is with freezing, if it doesn't maintain pitch, it's going to freeze if we try to run anything across that road. So, we got whatever it was, 3 inches of rain the other night. That station is always flooded when we get heavy rain like that, you know, short of, I say flooded, quote unquote flooded, you know, the pit around it has always been an issue. And then, you know, whatever gets in through the door and foundation and the pump would obviously pump it away. We had a few inches of water in it. It's all taken care of now. It just by running it, diverting it over. I think we can just divert it over to where that, third tank location, you know, the quote unquote third tank location was going to be, and get through the winter. But, this is my first conversation about it with you guys since it happened. So, we can work on an idea from there, but that was my initial, that was my plan, just run it back to where it originally was. And, you know, just kind of expected to do what it did in the past.
That's probably it's an easy fix, that's for sure. I don't have 25 years experience. I just saw what happened last year. So if you say
sure,
that's the easy one.
Yeah, so I think we're going to be fine. Shoot it off to the side where it went before. I think I worked. You might have done it with me. It might have been one of the other guys when we dug up in front of the tanks and pulled all that line out and stuff. But we can put that back in, at least as temporary for the winter, and I think it's going to be fine. Again, like that culvert, just because of the ledge location of the pipeline, it's always been a an uphill battle, if you will. So
I'm guessing that
if we want to, we'll try it. We'll run some water through it, see what happens, and go from there. I think, but we can. I think we can keep this pretty simple.
Okay. No, I like simple.
All right. Okay, Chris. Anything else on the punch list? I do see an email here. I'm going to give you the location of where these rocks that still need to be plucked out. It is the lot at 42 Aspen, which is across from number 1 Bristenstock. So it's where Aspen and Bristenstock merge. So I guess the home is at 1 Bristenstock. The lot of question is a cleared lot for view, and that's 42 Aspen. So you're probably going to see a sign on that.
So, Jay, are we going to ask, are we going to write back to them and ask them if they can meet somebody there at some point, or what's the next step on that?
That would be good, because, I mean, those fields are all, that open lot is just littered with rocks, surface boulders, stuff that's rolled over the years. So it's, you know, it's kind of like picking a needle out of a haystack. So.
Right.
Well, say they only can come up on the weekend. Would they meet you there or somebody else? Like, so somebody could mark them with some spray paint or something like that?
Exactly. That's what I'm going to ask Donna or Lynn to go ahead and send the homeowner an email asking her to meet with one of the offices from the Village District. We don't need to have engineering on this. And then we'll have those rocks identified one way or another, and then I'll pass those identifications on to Chris.
Yep. Perfect.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
So where are we with the rest of the stuff? Is someone going to come look at it? What are we going to do?
So there's a couple
next
of
time I'm up in the area, I'd like to see the abandoned culvert, Kelly. So I'll, you know, maybe later on next week I should be back up just on other stuff anyway, and I'll swing by and, you know, give you enough heads up and we can meet and look at it.
That'd be great, Chris.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Moving on to the next item. Let's see. Chris, you want to talk about, we'll jump right into the asset management grant. There's just for people on the line, there's a grant that's available through New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services. It's up to $20,000 with a match. And Chris Albert.
Jay, are we all set with Jones and Beach going forward, just so Brad's not hanging in there? So we're done with the Reinhardt Tank project?
Let me just check real quick. Get some other notes here.
This is Donna. Can I just ask that you got the Brian Pavin invoice so we can do the fifth disbursement?
Yes. This is Brad, and I did get the invoices, and we've got that disbursement ready. We should be able to send that out for you for review and signature today, and then we'll see if we can get that right in. But yeah, that was helpful. So we've got all that information that's included in the disbursement number 5.
Okay, so that will be coming to the office for them to sign.
Yeah, correct.
Jay, you
should be there any second.
Okay.
Yeah,
you can sign that.
I went over
that
last night, so. Yep. Yeah, this is about 100 days to sign.
Yep.
And
then we can just send it back to Jones and Beach and they'll file it, or do you want me to send that to Rick?
If Jay signs it, you can forward it directly to Rick Skorinka.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
only ask that you copy Jones and Beach just so they have the tracking in their records.
Correct. Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
The only thing before Brad hangs up, Jake sent me an email. You know, that you guys had talked about the shutdown 3 weeks ago, so he sent me an email again saying, requesting a shutdown. I know that's something that I guess Rick Skorinka wanted formally, so somehow we just need to close that loop with him. And Jay, I did reiterate to Jake, and it's on my punch list that we need a formal schedule that you want, Jay. You know, if they start April 15th, whatever. I mean, it's all weather dependent, of course, but we do need something just for you as the, you know, for the residents of the schedule. Is it, you know, start April 15th, you got 2 weeks in the well house and 2 weeks for service ties, and then you're done. type of thing. Yep. So that those are two outstanding issues that Dawson, you know, needs to get cleaned up, A, with, you know, for you as the residents, and then the schedule. What I'll do is I'll take his email and forward that out to everybody in Rick's Crank as far as the shutdown. The other thing, you know, while we're kind of in a kind of getting into the quiet winter mode, and I put that on my punch list, is that, you know, we should start getting all the service ties that their foreman was gathering while they were out there, and we should start getting that work done on, you know, the Jones and Beach record drawings now while it's winter and it's quiet, so we're not kind of rushing next year to wrap up the project. So that those are kind of three things that, from an office paper standpoint, should be kind of cleaned up.
Okay. All right. And while we have Brad on the line, we had a couple of invoices that did come in, and I just need to get some clarification on those. Those were for some much earlier contracts, I believe, Contract 1A, and let me see if I put all that here.
Okay.
Did you explain this, Brad?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what invoice, but we did transfer some of that time to the appropriate contract, and so it's gone to the, I believe it was Contract 1. And when I send this request for disbursement, I think it all those invoices are in there as well, so you can get a, you know, list of all the different invoices. So all it was just not allocated in the right contract, some of the time there. So
okay, because I'm looking at the invoice now, and one is for contractor coordination. There's another one for plan reproduction, project meeting, and project supervision. And I'm just curious when these took place. And let's see, one is for, the invoice date is 12-1. The contract is Contract 001, water tank design. That's the one where you've got plan reproduction, project meeting, project supervision. And I'm just not sure of what meetings those were in the plan that was obviously was probably the first rollout of the drawing. So I could see that. But then I go to contract number 2, and again, there's a charge for plan reproduction again. I'm just wondering, is that duplicated in two places?
Yeah, I'm looking at some of it now. So the plan reproduction, it looked like it was $20 on 12-1. So I would say no, that it's not duplicated. It might have been just put in a different contract by, you know, when somebody does anything here, they you know, say it's the girl's making prints, they'll print it and then they log it into the system accordingly. So like I say, that she might have got the wrong contract. It's definitely confusing with 6 different contracts. So I mean, we can adjust it and get it in the right contract if that's what you want it, and I mean, that's not a problem. So yeah, I see it here. Yeah. And there was another one for $30 on, you know, on a different invoice.
Contract 1.
Contract 2, yep. And then there's also one on Contract 1, yep. So, I mean, you know, we can consolidate that and get it. I would say those are different plans that were printed for the project. So.
Okay. And there's another one for contract number 6. This is construction administration services in the O&M operations manual. There's a construction inspection of, I believe it's $500. There was a project meeting that was $437. Was this the, well, I guess I'll call it the site visit where we all did a walkthrough? I'm just not sure if...
I would say yes. Yep.
Okay. All right. And so with respect to contract number 6, and I'm not sure Donna may have a better understanding than I do, Was this the contract that we already overspent with regards to the $5,000?
That's correct.
So is this an additional $1,375 beyond what was stated originally in that contract?
Plus what we went over prior also.
Yeah, so now we're, let's see, the other overage was just under 2,000, so this looks to be now about 2,375 over on that contract number six. Wow, okay. I just wanted to make sure which bucket these are coming from. So we'll have to discuss that. I didn't have any idea which work this is for this contract until I saw this. Okay. All right. I don't think I have anything else for Brad. I know, Brad, we had asked in previous meetings for a waiver of that overage of almost $2,000 beyond the $5,000 that was allocated for the engineering oversight for the project, and we haven't heard back from you. Do you know what your answer might be, or are you still working on it?
Well, I mean, you know, I did go back through and look at the contract. It's an hourly contract, and it's based on time that they're out there. I know that as far as I was concerned, this thing should have been, could have been completed at this point if we hadn't had the COVID issues and the pumps and everything else, and that would have, the budget would have fit. But now that it lingers on, it exhausts more time, more inspection, more punch list items and that type of thing. So the job is definitely stretched out beyond what was, originally anticipated by us. And remember, we do an estimate based on what it's going to take for inspections. A lot of times it takes some more if based on the pace of the job and and if there's some issues with punch list items, and we have to go back and, in a real world, you go in, you do a punch list, and then you go back and inspect the punch list, check everything off, and there might be a few things that have to be addressed. But it seems like there were definitely some outstanding items, and it looks like now Chris has to possibly go back, again in a couple of weeks just to take a final look and look at that culvert and that type of thing. So it's really, like I say, it is based on time. We probably have 30, 40 of these projects running right now, and they're all, it's all based on how much time it takes for the inspector to go out and do the inspection, the shop drawing review, and if we don't do all these items, then you don't get a full project and full supervision, which is what you need,
Yeah. Okay.
So, Jay?
Yeah.
Jay, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Jay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Kathy. So, on the original contract 001, is there anything else that's going to be coming from Jones and Beach for that contract? That was the original, I believe, $21,000. I mean, is the scope of that work complete on contract 001? Or there'll still be additional charges going to that particular contract?
Was there anything else? I know we had some remaining time in inspection, and that was, I think we're going to transfer some of that over to that contract. What was the plan? Chris, is there anything else left in that contract one?
I'd have to look at it again, but I think when you look at the bottom line of the overall Jones and Beach contracts and what we're spent, we're still in the black. So typically, on any project, I guess that's the point is, what we need to do, Jay, is kind of what we call it in a construction time frame is kind of a balancing change order. Where, I told you it'd be $10 for one item. I only billed you six, but on the other item it went to 12, and I told you it was going to be 10. So it's the bottom line budget of contract that's the important part of, what Jones and Beach had issued for contracts, and we're still in the black on that. So I've done them before for like SRF site contracts where, you know, like ledge may go under, but the pipe goes over type of things. And we've done a balancing change order with line items on construction. So maybe if that's something, Jay, Brad and I can kind of work on a balancing change order from this respect also.
Yeah, and that was my point, that if there was still a balance on contract 001 and there's nothing else anticipated for expenses, then, you know, oversight is oversight and inspections are inspections. That they should be moved from contract 6 to contract 1 as long as we're not going to get another $5,000 against contract 1.
No, I mean, everything we do is by the hour. So it's, again, this isn't like lump sum stuff. We base everything we do is based on boots on the ground and time. And like I've always said, whenever I go up there, well, I didn't charge any time for the last 2 weeks ago, but anytime I've always gone up, I always only charge travel one way to give you guys a kind of that. Most engineers don't do that, but I feel it's fair. I think the key is what was spent to the voters. And, we try to estimate how much time it takes on a project. And like Brad explained, it's an hourly thing. And sometimes, things fly right through, weather conditions, parts, labor, all that kind of change that variable. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, overall, we're still ahead of the game. I just didn't know if there was any anticipated large dollar invoices coming our way prior to the end of the project.
Yeah,
but that's kind of, if we're caught, only, if we're caught up.
Yeah,
as far
really.
As,
yeah.
Okay.
Thing we have left is the O&M manual, as-built record drawing type stuff, and then whatever inspections would happen now, punch list stuff now, and then start up in the spring. We've got to look at, the asset management part of what's the next thing to discuss and how that's going to work into, say, like the Lakeview PRV pit situation. I mean, they're all going to kind of meld together from that standpoint. The other two PRV pits are in. I don't think the piping's complete on the one on the upper one, but it's mostly just inspection times and then project closeout.
Okay. Now, what about engineering? So on the Upper Lakeview portion, that was part of the original contract. So is there substantial engineering still left to be done for that?
Well, what we were doing originally is we were going to just, and Ian can chime in if he's still there, is we were just going to do a one-for-one replacement on that. And after Ian and I and Jake kind of walked around and kind of scratched our head and looked at the drawings, the old pressure gradient drawings, it may not make sense to just do a one-to-one replacement. We may not be getting the best bang for our buck. Again, that's how the asset management and the work and the scope that Wright Pierce gave you guys, that's all going to kind of meld together where, I think Ian, it may be the case where we want to go down gradient, install two PRV pits, and then just abandon that upper PRV pit altogether and recreate different pressure zones. And what that may end up doing is giving you a farther extension of running mains downslope laterally and give you more hookups in the future. So, again, there's a little bit more. It's not more engineering science of the hydraulics, which really wasn't part of any of our scopes to date on the project.
Okay.
I think, I'm sorry, go ahead, Kathy.
No, I was just going to say, so maybe moving, I mean, there is still some contingency funds left, and there's capital reserve funds that we have available that have to be spent in order to maximize the grant disbursement, and so it's just a matter of rethinking that whole portion of the Upper Lakeview PRV pit. So, okay, all right, I'm good.
Yeah, so that money time may meld into this asset management program, which, when we all talked is, what I wanted to do after this project was complete was to kind of really work with you guys on, develop a modeling, an updated model for the district, which now the asset management is going to pay that time, which is great.
Yep, I agree. Okay.
So my concern is seeing these charges so long after the actual inspection or the work was done, and to Kathy's point exactly, which is where I was going, I know we may be redesigning the Upper Lakeview pressure zone, and that's going to cost some more money. And I guess my concern is how much and when are we going to see these estimates and things of that sort. I guess I just would rather have some better insight as to what charges might be coming forward. That's my only concern. We get scared when we start to see charges that were for work or projects that were actually completed so long ago nobody can remember what it was. And it scares us because we get to the end of the budget time, we think we got good numbers, and all of a sudden all these bills come in, and then whoops, we get caught. And so that's my main concern. But Kelly had some points he wanted to make. I'm just going to give the microphone to him right now.
I think what Bill was getting is the frustration with me listening. When you have a $5,000 cap, you appropriate $5,000 in government, that is the top. You cannot go over the $5,000. I deal with it every day. If you're going to hit the $5,000, you stop and you appropriate more money to expend past the $5,000. That's fortunate. That's how government works. It's not an estimate; it's a cap. So, but for you guys to come in and re-inspect a punch list that's already been inspected at least twice, just to get a job done, it should have been done right the first time, is extremely frustrating to me. Listen to this: I can meet with Jake. We'll save the money. Send Jake out without paying him. I'll show him what's wrong. It's common sense the things that are wrong. So I get frustrated because this is common sense stuff that's being overlooked. The $5,000 money appropriated was a cap. To go over that, and not knowing politics, maybe it happened, but the commissioners have a right to ask about $2,000 and why it was, you shouldn't have gone over because there wasn't $2,000 more spent. I got roads out there that I got to plow this year that I'm worried about my vehicles. I worry about my guys. That's why I get frustrated with this. Let's get this done. Send Jake out. I haven't seen him in a long time. Send him out. I'll talk with Jake and say, Jake, look, this, that, this, and that. It won't cost me anything or the district anything to meet with him. Sorry about that, but I get frustrated.
Yeah. Good point. I think we got that cleared up as far as the billing. We'll have to just take a deeper look into that. And again, if there's talk about redesigning, we need to know what those costs are going to be just well ahead of time. Because we've already got a plan, and the plan is a one-to-one replacement. And if that's going to be redesigned, possibly to save us some money, possibly going to cost us some money, we need to know that. Because we need to make decisions long in advance of actually, and not to have the work done and then tell us later that this is what you're being charged for, when in fact we didn't even know it was coming down the road. But anyhow, I want to jump on real quick to the asset management. I think, Brad, do you have anything else for the commissioners?
I do not. Nope.
Okay. Okay, you're free agent. Thank you, Brad.
Okay. Yeah, have a good day. Thank you, guys.
Okay. I want to jump real quick because I know Kathy's got a deadline. And the asset management. So, Chris, go ahead with the asset management. What's transpired?
I'm sorry, is that
Chris?
Me, Jay? Yep,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so, again, I was in contact with Wright Pierce. I actually work for them as a sub-consultant. And Chris Berg, and I'm actually working with them as a sub on some other towns in New Hampshire and Mass to do asset management. So they're very well versed. So what Chris Berg did is he kind of gave you a previous kind of asset management breakdown, which is true tested and been approved before, for submittal. So it's pretty much ready to get submitted if you had any comments. But, you know, what we're looking for is the full $20,000 match, and that would get you guys, all your modeling and your drawings.
Hang on, Chris. Somebody's got their speaker on. We hear the squealing in the background. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, and then if Chris Berg just did send you an email,
yep, I got it.
You know, when we do asset management, it's never to the level of detail of that, because it's the same problem like you were saying is trying to dig up a water line. You know, what we're trying to do is, you know, assume that the water line is in this general location in the road. If we can find a gate valve and locate that, great. But we have to work off hydraulic modeling, which is a computer model that looks at elevations, distances, pipe sizes, and then figures all the friction head. So, you know, they're going to take off of what the Paul Fluitt had done and actually see if we can get his old model and update that. And then, you know, when we get the new Reinag zone done, we'll incorporate that into it. So, you know, it's a pretty good breakdown that Chris gave you. And again, it's a template. It's not, you know, I know you had questioned about the tank inspection work and stuff like that. And I mean, I think this is just a good template to submit for the asset management grant. I mean, I'm sure if you deviate from it a little bit, that's not out of the intent. So that's fine.
Yeah.
And then
you
did see that it is extended. You did extend it to, I believe it was the 15th.
Oh, did he extend
it? That I forwarded you guys.
Yeah, that was yesterday. I saw that email.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, I forwarded it to everybody. Yeah, so it's not due tomorrow, so there's still some time to kind of, you know, discuss internally. But I think what Chris gave you is a pretty good template ready for submission. Again, it's only if you read through it, it's there's no signatures. It's just an email submission to Louie at Asset Management.
Yeah, so that's good that we got the extension. And I want to ask Ian, who's on the line. Ian, the purpose of this grant is to get asset management drawings of our water system as accurately as possible onto a paper or an electronic form to make your life easy. And I wanted you to chime in because you are the guy that has to grapple with this on a day-to-day basis and probably one of the most frustrated water operators in the state. So can you add your concerns with regards to the district in terms of getting this grant so that we can do some real good mapping for our water system?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it would be obviously phenomenal to get the grant, anything we can put towards mapping the system. I mean, in the previous conversations we've had on this, you know, obviously we don't have a lot of, we don't have a good idea at all of where a lot of the older mains are, you know, stuff from the 60s, 70s, 80s. Some of the newer stuff you guys did in the 90s, down Idlewise Drive and Burn, I think we have decent mapping on, but for the most part, we, you know, we're blind. But, you know, some of the work that, you know, was done a few years ago with locating gate valves, although the data points might not be, extremely useful. You know, we did actually locate the valves, and we can, between marking those points out, the curb valves out, I think we would get a pretty good idea of where our mains travel and where, you know, just to get a, you know, and beyond that, start to get a better idea of where the actual dead ends of mains are and loop lines. I mean, obviously, we've learned a lot of that over the last, you know, I think I've been involved in Idlewise for 15 years or so. So I've gotten, you know, contact learns quite well where things are, but Lakeview is a perfect example of where I had an incorrect assumption on what was going on up there because there was a line run that was never really properly documented and isn't actually doing what it says it's doing on the maps that we have. And, you know, just through some, you know, field work, we realized that, you know, hey, these mains are actually connected through some outages and things that we had. So, yeah, I mean, I think the number one goal Idlewise should have is getting mapping, and it would help whether it's myself or anybody working in there. It would be extremely important to, you know, start to get a better feel for what the system is and what it's doing and what we need to do moving forward. So,
okay, good. So you're in agreement with going forward and hoping to land the grant?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You really, because the key for the residents. And the commission to understand is asset management is really the start of any type of infrastructure improvement plan. So by having a decent asset management program completed that has an inventory and capital budgets for life expectancies, that's your base, like, master plan that's going to help create future grants and loans for switching systems. That way, you know, when we're going to CDBG or any of these other type of, you know, government agencies looking for funding, they want to see asset management as the base guidance document for you to move forward. So it's very critical that this get done.
Yeah, the reason I just want to educate everybody. Reason that we got the money, the grant for the new tank is because we had a catastrophic failure in the inspection of the existing tanks. So if we were just going to go ahead and do another project and expect to get grant money from DES without having the asset management plan in place, I don't think we're going to be very successful. So good point, Chris.
Right. All right. Yeah, no, that's a great point.
But Jay, aren't there existing? Hasn't an asset management plan been done? Like, don't we have one that just hasn't been used?
Yes. So, good point, Paula. We have a back in 2015, we secured a $15,000 matching grant in asset management. We started to do that work, in which Ian had already alluded to. We had captured a lot of curb stop, actually probably 100% of the curb stop valve data, as well as a tremendous amount of system valve data, shutoff valves. And so that has all been documented. They're in books here. I think everybody knows that. Now the process would be, and what we extracted from that $15,000 grant was about $7,000 that we were reimbursed for back in 2015. In other words, we had the money available to us, but we didn't start the mapping, which was part of that plan. So to your point, Paula, this is a to continue what we originally wanted to do, but we just ran out of time. And so I had Donna send me the 2015 grant application. She did. I matched that up with what was put together by Chris.
Okay.
And it's perfectly aligned. So.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we were addressing
that. Yeah, chime in on
that
a little bit.
Not,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Paula.
No, I just wanted to make sure we weren't duplicating something that had already been done. That's all.
No, I mean, I can't remember what the actual number of water system shut. So, I mean, I think we found somewhere in the 500-plus range of curb valves, or I say we, I mean, a group of people went out and did it. I was more involved on the water main shutoff locations. I can't remember the exact number, but I want to say it was somewhere around 200 valves are located. Now, again, even finding the valves are not necessarily useful to us because they haven't been touched in some of them 40 or 50 years, so you really don't want to use them. But, I mean, just to be able to locate where our mains are traveling based off those valves is useful. So, I mean, I think it sounds like you guys might have spent a little over $20,000 on that, or a combined total between what you were giving Grant and your own money. To get that much information out of that is a pretty good step in the right direction. I mean, the mapping is going to be, I'm guessing, substantially more than that by the time it's done. And it might be an ongoing thing, but it's at least we're you know, heading in that direction of getting it put in place. So I just, you know, what you guys did in the past, I would not say was wasted money. Now those are located and you're not going to spend hundreds of hours out finding those, at least, you know, for what's documented, it'll be a lot easier to find those locations. So.
Great. Thank you.
So for the commissioners, we got here's another week from tomorrow. So what are our plans on what to do with the grant? Do we want to continue going forward and submit? Anybody have any questions to what was put together by Wright and Pierce? And the reason, and it's great that Wright and Pierce, Chris is working with them as a consultant. I had actually gone through a list of engineering firms that do asset management for the state of New Hampshire municipalities, and Wright and Pierce was one of my three that I had pulled from this list. So when I mentioned it to Chris, he said, well, I work for them. So I thought it was great, and they were generous enough to send us an application that was done prior, which sounds exactly like what we need to do. So,
Jay, can I ask you a question? So there's two Chris's. One Chris is our Chris Albert, and the other Chris, does he work for DES, or is he an independent engineer as well?
No, Chris Berg works for Wright Pierce. He's my contact. He's an engineer and runs the water system section over there at Wright Pierce.
Okay. So what is Wright Pierce? An engineering firm?
Yep. Wright Pierce is one of the largest engineering firms in the Northeast. They're the big dogs. So, and they come with a cost. I'm not going to deny that, but it's something where, with me assisting them and kind of keeping, everything in line, I think you're going to get the best bang for your buck with the big people, but then somebody boots on the ground that can do the small scale stuff and keep it not simple, stupid, but keep it affordable.
Right. Yeah. So this is beyond the scope of what you could do currently with your software and your computers. This is something that we would need to go to somebody at that level.
I no, the software that you use, it's an EPA free software. What Wright Pierce has actually done, and I'm going to be working with them in say Lebanon, New Hampshire. These guys are so high tech. They write their own code. They write their own computer software where they take the EPA software in the field that I would download, and then they take it and manipulate it, and they've got fancy charts and pie charts and graphs and life expectancies and costs. Mm-hmm. And they've really taken it to a high-tech citywide. They've just built the town of Exeter's wastewater treatment plant, mm-hmm. big drinking water plant. So they're the highest skilled guys around from this standpoint. So it's a
I'm
good
just wondering
mix,
if that's something.
I'm glad to work with them.
Okay. I should know if that was beyond the scope of what we need. Based on the size of our district,
this would have been something I would have come back to you, next year or whatever. The asset management, it's something we knew. I knew the asset management grants were coming out, and something we were going to discuss anyway. I thought it was due on the 15th, which it now is due, to get this in play, because this is the grant. This is what you need.
Okay.
I mean, the drawings that I have from Paul Fluitt that Ian gave, that you guys have, are from 1998. So that's the last time you actually had any real hydraulic modeling done.
And to keep in mind, all that mapping is assumed outside of the pipeline that was done, which was the DPW, the Jungfrau line, and then the Idlewise drive line. The rest of that piping isn't accurate just because it was done in 98. So.
Yeah. Okay. I just didn't know. Right. I was just a little confused about the relationship between them as an engineer and then you as an engineer. So it would be. I just want to make sure that
yep.
You would be involved, since you've spent 2 years now learning kind of what our system is and working with Ian and working with the district. So it would be a shame to not move forward with that and then take advantage of your experience with our district.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I would. Okay. The way we're kind of working it as a sub consultant, I'm kind of the boots on the ground for them. Then it goes to their computer guru guys. After I complete, a task, they would download it and kind of fluff it up. I mean, and we did spend the time on the LIDAR mapping, which you see on our drawings is the base drawings, and that's a good step ahead. So everything that we do now for the GIS mapping as part of their scope that they've gone over is going to get brought into that drawing. So that's a huge file, big file of 2-foot contours for the entire district. And that's mm-hmm. going to be kind of our base drawing for now on, that everything goes forward. So it's all going to be computer generated. If you look at a lot of the older drawings, they're kind of primitive. They're not, they're not in a decent CAD format. It's old school. Now we're really getting, the district into some, real high-tech computer software stuff.
Right. Which, if we want to go forward with any other DES grants, that's what they want to see. I know we tried.
Yeah,
kind of to Paula's point, when we went around and identified, I wasn't involved then, but when all the curb stop valves were identified, we were trying to put them on a program that we were building internally with the help of a very qualified resident, but it was a sort of a homegrown thing, and it just doesn't sit well with DES. They really want a third-party engineering firm to create and manage a true asset plan, you know, especially those maps. So.
Yep.
So we get it. Okay. All right.
In my investigation for engineering firms, what Louis Ardano had pointed out to me is that I should look at other similar sized water systems like ours. So, of course, I looked at Emerald Lake. I looked at Rockhouse Mountain, which is much smaller than us. And actually, I believe it's Rockhouse, Ian, you could probably chime in, that actually used Wright Pierce to do some of their asset management work. So I think it's a firm that's actually been used by some of our more local, small-sized systems like ours. So I think we're on the right track. But I guess my question to the other two commissioners is, do we go ahead with what we've got, or do we want to take another week in time to think about this? If you have any further questions.
I mean, I think there's absolutely no harm in just going forward and applying. I mean, we can, as Chris said, it's not a specific project as far as, you know, we're not talking about doing a certain thing on Idlewild Drive. It's not that detailed. And if the wording or as long as the intent is there, and it seems to be, I mean, it's a pretty broad description of what we need to do in the district. And my question is, if we get approved for the $20,000 and as a matching requirement, do we have to put that as a warrant article?
Yeah, that would be the key. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, you would.
So let's talk about that. Just
yeah, I agree with Kathy to go ahead. I don't think
just
we need
it.
To think
yeah,
about
just
it
do it. We could. Yeah, and there's no reason to talk to death about you know, the clarification is great between that, you know, that engineering firm and Chris, and so I'm good to go forward with it. And the fact that Chris is still involved, I think that gives me a little bit better level of comfort with the whole process.
Okay. And just to your point, Kathy, where would the match come from? Yes, it has to be a woman's article. And in the woman's article, we can choose that the money be coming from the water system capital reserve fund, which is $45,000 approximately. There's also a pipeline capital reserve fund of $40,444. So we can actually take it from money that already exists as opposed to raising the water fee or any other tax or water fee. So there's options that we have. We don't have to discuss those now, but so, Chris, if it's all right, I'll go ahead and have the office send this grant into DES, and we'll just have to wait and see when their decision point is and see if we get the grant. In the meantime, we have to think about writing that warrant article and how we fund the $20,000 as a match if we get that much. It may be for less, by the way, too. Okay?
Yep. Okay. Yep, right, I'm good with it.
I'll make the motion that we do it. Yeah, I'll make the motion that we go ahead and submit the application as written to New Hampshire DES for the $20,000 asset management grant.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. So we can send that from the office, and Louis, I'm sure, will be very happy to see our application.
Good.
Okay.
And then we can, and when I get back the middle of the month, we can sit down with the whole warrant article discussion and decide how we want to fund that matching balance.
Yep. We have options.
Okay. All right. Yep, we do.
So I want to jump to the DPW report, but before I leave, because we got Ian coming up after Kelly, Chris, anything else
yes,
you
sir.
Have for the village commissioners?
No, I mean, are you all set, Ian? You don't need me for anything, do you?
I don't think so. I think we're all good here. And appreciate the work you've done on that. Okay. You're
all
free to go. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
All right. Chris, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, so we got Kelly Robitaille, DPW supervisor. Kelly, you're up.
Before I get started, I don't know if Mark is still on the line, if we can move him up, because I'm going to be doing that.
Okay. So Mark, you're going to get the microphone. Kelly's going to give you his spot, and I'll let you go ahead, Mark. I think you're still muted.
Yeah. Hi, good morning. Mark McConkey, how are you?
Good, Mark.
So I had, and thank you for this opportunity. I thought I had a lot to do until I listened to your meeting up till now. I'm a septic designer, and I have done a lot of projects in your subdivision, but it's come to light on some of these lots that we can't meet your setback restrictions from streams or the town's restrictions from wetlands, whether it's hydric A or B, and building setbacks also. So last month I was in a hearing for a gentleman who had a pre-existing septic design, and that's what's happening with a lot of these that had been previously approved. And I have two folks now that I'm working with, Ferdo and Canton, which I believe I sent septic plans to you, and another one on Shepik, which is on 39 Interlochen Drive. And when I approach most of these, or all of these, I try and balance, you know, keeping the septic system at least to the state standard, the houses where it makes sense. So I don't know if you have the plans here. I'd like to talk to you about the first one on Hutwell, which is Caton in Furtado. They had bought this lot. It's a corner lot. They had bought this lot from, I believe, the town on a tax sale. They had proceeded then to bring in a surveyor and pin the corners of the property. Then I brought in a wetland scientist to find the edge of the poorly drained soil. And then we did a test pit to make sure that it was acceptable for a new system. And the plan I have before you is what I think is the best meld for that lot. And having been through the zoning hearing last month in Madison, I thought it'd make a lot more sense to just come to you folks first and get your thoughts and some sort of agreement before I go through a variance. And that's why I called today.
No, good point. Thank you. So I'm looking right now. I do see the, is it Shepik? I do see
the...
Oh,
okay. The, I'm going to that one. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if you can be able to get the other one.
I don't see
any other plans. Okay. Donna, do you know if we got any of the other plans?
I didn't get any of the emails from Mark.
Okay, let me see who we sent them to. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It went to the commissioners and office at vdoenewhampshire.org.
Was this from the 23rd? Was this from November 23rd? There was an email.
I believe so. Let me just find my way back to
I have
you.
One from November 23rd. It's got Shepik, Hutwell, and Chart.
A chart.
Yes, that's
one.
That's from November 23rd, you guys.
Okay.
The office sent it out. The office got it and forwarded it out to the commissioners.
And what's the name of the property owner?
Pardon?
What's the name of the property owner or the property?
I don't know. The name of the email is septic review with your commissioners ahead of a ZBA meeting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's three.
I don't know what you're looking for, if you're looking for the email.
All his emails were connected on and pulled for the meeting.
I'm just having trouble downloading the file. I think it's a large file.
Yeah, we're just going to go through the folder now. Are those done?
Yeah, we can correspond.
I just have a simple question because I'm a layman when it comes to these understanding these issues with the zoning and the wetlands. But, like, you know, I think our concern is particularly for septic design and wetlands. We're talking about the health, the environmental health of our community, but of our ponds and the water here. So I guess my concern is how this will impact, could impact the water quality here in Edelweiss if we allow these kind of zoning variances for septic systems.
Would you like me to answer that?
Yes,
Mark.
Please.
Okay, thank you.
I can't read your plans. The plans mean nothing to me, honestly. I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to be able to understand them. So,
don't worry about it. A well-constructed septic system, state-approved and state-inspected, that is a minimum of 50 feet away from a wetlands, meets the standards of the state. And that's what we're proposing here. In both my instances, we're able to put a septic that at least meets the state standards. What towns did a number of years ago, back in the 70s, beginning of 80s, enacted a lot of ordinances that went above and beyond the state standards. And most part weren't based on science. What they were doing was, how can we create much larger lots and stop development in our towns? And once these ordinances got into place, there hasn't been energy by the towns then to go back and make revisions, because to the layperson, it only makes sense that, jeepers, you know, we're doing our environment better if we put it even further away. And I can assure you, after 30 years of designing and installing, knowing where a septic system is, knowing that it's built to the newest standard, which the standard keeps being reviewed probably every 10 years by the Department of Environmental Services, we're doing a service to the environment. And in your case, where you're the board of commissioners or board of directors, to your surrounding lakes. So I don't know if that confused you more, but what we're proposing, or what I'm proposing on both of these properties, is to keep the septic system at least meeting state standards, which they have two different standards. They have a poorly drained, which has water on it a lot of the year, but not all of the year, and it's not usually ponded all of the time. And then, of course, we have the wetlands that I like to say, I give it the 275-pound test. When I walk on it and I sink, I know I'm in a wetland. But in those situations, which are, you know, around your ponds, in lower areas, have a 75-foot setback. And in both of the designs I have here, they are a poorly drained, not a very poorly drained.
That last piece confused me a little. So how far are they then? They're 50 feet, or are they 75 feet? I don't
know. The one on Hutwell is 50 feet, which meets the town standard from a poorly drained. There's two types of wetlands, poorly drained and very poorly. And the Shepik property, which is on Interlochen, has two poorly drained soils on it, and we've threaded the difference between the two. So one's at 50.58. And the septic is 51 from the other location. They're really about the only two places on these lots that you can put septic systems.
So if you don't get this variance, they're not going to be able to build on these lots.
They're unbuildable lots.
Okay. Understood. And what do we have as our standard for Edelweiss, or is it a Madison standard? It's a Madison standard, right? The state is 50 feet. What is the Madison standard? 75?
Yeah.
Okay. Understood. Thank you for explaining that. I appreciate it.
So I'm just looking at the interlocking drawing, okay. Mark. This is Jay, by the way.
Thank you, Jay.
I see your setback from the water line of the middle pond to the corner, closest corner of the proposed four-bedroom house being 70, I believe it's 76.52 feet. So you meet setback there, but I think it's in reference to the poorly drained and very poorly drained areas where you're not meeting your setbacks. Yes. I guess my concern is
poorly drained.
Say it again, Mark.
Yes, poorly drained. I don't think we show very poorly drained on there, and the house meets the town setbacks.
Yeah. I guess my concern is, I was on the planning board for more than a decade,
okay.
A long time ago. And so I was part of the board that actually instituted the, guidelines, which we have today as far as setbacks, which are more strict than the state setbacks. And I think the reason we did that is because as a planning board member for the town of Madison, we realized the value in our ponds and our lake, especially Silver Lake, in keeping those as pristine as possible. They certainly help define the property values of property in the town. We don't want to lose that. We've seen other towns that have had either milfoil or other contaminants go into the ponds, create algae growth, and basically that's the end of your value if you can't control that. I noticed that there are a lot of lots that have been going before the Madison Zoning Board of Appeals lately that are, for lack of better words, they're considered junk lots. They're bought very inexpensively. As you had mentioned, I compliment your honesty. This is a lot that was bought from the town for tax sale, so it was probably sold for a very low cost, and there's a reason for it. It's basically because it's very difficult to get passage. Normally what happens with these lots is the abutter usually buys them to create a larger lot and give them more privacy, but in these cases that have come up recently, they're either individual property owners or developers that are buying up these junk lots and trying to get them developed and asking for variance to protecting our most precious asset we have in the Village District other than our DPW crew, and that is our ponds.
Hey, Jay, what is the address? What is the street address of this lot that you're talking about? I can't get this file open.
Yeah, I got it in the map 108 lot 22, which is that an interlocking address or
the Shepik lot is 39 interlocking.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. That's all I wanted. I just want to map it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's my history with regards to the zoning and the way it currently is. I think it's the responsibility of the Board of Commissioners. I know you had stated, Mark, that some of these lots were pre-approved years ago. And things may have changed. I don't doubt your work, and I appreciate your work and consideration of keeping our wetland and water bodies as protected as possible. I'm not sure. Oh, I see where it is. Okay. So the proposed home is a 36 by 34. It's a four bedroom. That pretty much fits into the standard of what's in Idlewise, maybe a little bit larger than those, but that's okay. So basically that's my point. With regards to setbacks, is there any way of moving, and as I had mentioned at the last ZBA hearing,
the Board of Commissioners, would entertain giving relief to setbacks from our center line of our roads so to further protect the wetlands and or, in this case, on Interlochen, the middle pond. Is that something that's doable here, Mark? Can we move things?
As far as the septic system goes, there's poorly drained to the back of the lot, which is Interlochen, and there's poorly drained up towards the pond. And there's really nowhere else to move that field and keep at least a 50-foot buffer. And the house in this case doesn't need relief because it fits in the zoning envelope. And I just wanted to say one other thing to you, sir. When I will accept your word junk lot, but that the Hutwell is that lot. This lot is always has been a building lot. So just wanted to throw
this
that
lot,
too.
I mean, this lot went on the market a week ago for $160,000. They're trying to sell this lot. That's why they're trying to get this septic approved. So
yeah, they have a purchase and sale. Yep.
Okay. So, I mean, that's kind of what, and I think a lot of people, I saw this sign up on this lot the other day, and that's what I thought this was. That's why I wanted to map it, and I can't get the map open. But, I mean, I see the point. I guess the question is, I think we just have to end this call sooner, Jay. You and I have to continue without Kathy. She's going to have to get off. But, you know, I think I want to sort of give this some thought. If we can, I understand the issue now much better. I appreciate it. I think it's been explained well. I wish I could. I can't get this map open to see this, but this one concerns me because it is very low land over there. I know exactly where this is. It's right on top of the pond.
So Jay, can I ask you a question, Jay?
Yes.
Jay, wasn't there a property? One of these property owners. Or one nearby the Blinden lot that was required to put in a fairly high-tech, expensive septic system that alleviated the need for such a footprint and brought it further away from the wetland boundary?
Yeah, so there was a house constructed probably about 15 or 20 years ago that also had wetlands in an area that was close to, I think it was 11 Blinden that was approved at the last CBA hearing. And they were required to put in a very expensive septic system because of the wetlands, and they didn't want to ask for the variance. They more or less complied and spent the extra money to further protect the wetland. And so that's, I guess, I don't know if you're asking this question, Kathy, but is there a different type of septic system that could be put in place which may be more expensive but may be more protective of the resources that we have in the village district, be it the pond or the wetlands?
The only spot that's 75 feet from Fulford wetlands is where that septic tank is.
Okay. So I'm sorry. If the question's back to me, I'll answer it this way. So there are innovative technologies. I had one of the hearings on Blinden that got approved where it was last time, but there are technologies that would take that footprint and reduce it probably another 50%, which would probably gain. I'm going to guess instead of being 50 feet away, we probably now could be 60 feet away. I'm talking to my son, who's also a designer here. So there is a possibility of gaining more, but we're not going to get to 75.
Yeah.
Any place with 75 is closer to the 75 water.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
No,
When is the hearing for this? You guys, when is the hearing for this, the Madison Zoning Board meeting?
I wasn't going to pull a hearing until I got through with you folks.
Okay.
I just thought maybe they had a regular hearing.
Oh, they do. So I would imagine the earliest we could get into would be January, possibly, most likely February.
Okay.
Okay. So can we just put this off for another? Can we discuss it? I'd like to think about it a little bit, and I'd like to look at this map. I can't get it open right now, unfortunately. Okay. I apologize.
I'm sorry. That was me. I got disconnected. I just called back in.
Yeah. Maybe right. Discuss it next week or another before the next zoning. I mean, I'd just like to.
I mean,
I think it. Yeah, and if you want, is there anything else on?
Well, Paula, it, and with this, yeah. With the zoning variance, all that the commissioners can do is voice
right.
their concerns.
No, I understand.
The,
yeah.
We don't make the
yeah.
decision on, you know,
no,
thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah. I understand, okay. But it'd be nice for us to go to the meeting. I mean, if we are thumbs down, we need to send somebody to the meeting. If we're thumbs up,
yes,
we don't yeah, have to
absolutely.
Attend.
Yep.
So.
Well, yeah, but so, I'm just trying to get us to a happy place that, you know,
understand.
If you're bored another day talks about it, and I'm happy to talk to you again when you can fit me in.
Sure.
And you come back and say, jeepers, if we could pick up another 10 feet with a different system, we would be happier. It would just make it easier so when we get into the hearing process, we don't lose another month trying to comply. So. I understand how busy your schedules are, yeah. And if you can get me back on the schedule, please let me know.
You can attend any meeting you want. I mean, our meetings are open, so you can always come to a meeting and to either ask for time at public comment or schedule an appearance at any
yeah.
meeting. Yeah.
Well, I understand that, but I don't think the
yeah.
public's welcome right now, so... Yeah. When I
no,
say,
you can always attend. All these calls, the dial-in number is always open. We meet every Thursday morning. You can call in any meeting. And ask for, at the end of every meeting, we have public comment. So you can ask.
Okay.
Or you can just let the office know, and we can give you more specific time
okay.
if that helps.
Yeah,
that does.
Mark, if you want to reschedule, Mark, and let the office
yeah.
know what meeting you might want to call into, that will prompt the commissioners to do further review of these drawings and
okay.
be able to discuss and maybe a little more definitive the next time you call.
Sounds great. Jay, I will. I'll call back and get on next week's agenda. Thank you so much for your time.
Right.
Hey, thank you. Mark, I
yeah.
just want to say thank you. You're probably one of the first, maybe the only septic designer that's ever reached out to the Village District prior to going to apply for variance. And we appreciate that very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I'm old school. Talk to you again. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Yep. Okay. Now we got Kelly. Sorry about that, Kelly.
All right. This would be the next guy I gave you. Wanted to talk to Ian because I'm okay with time.
Yeah. Ian.
That would be awesome. Thanks, Kelly.
Sorry about that, Ian.
No
we're
problem.
We're going to put you ahead of Kelly. We'll let you have the microphone because we're short of time. Kathy,
yep.
Let me ask Kathy what she wants to do right now. Kathy?
I'm on.
Are you still, Kathy?
I'm on the line for two more minutes, so I don't know if that's going to be helpful to you at all. I mean, we're going into the parking lot here, so if,
okay.
I mean, you and Paula, I trust you. If there's manifest to approve, if whatever you're doing in non-public, I can get a hold of Donna later on today and find out what that was all about.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, Kelly has something for you.
Kathy, I'm only going to put this in ahead of Ian because you know the property owner. It's the Viasca property. He's got a serious driveway problem there. He's got water coming into the road. From what I can tell, the driveway is not in the right position from what the permit called for, which doesn't mean it can't go there, but you have to reapply for a new driveway permit and have it approved by me with the proper drainage. So I think you need to go forward with contact the individual and getting that straightened out sooner than later.
Okay.
All
right. I heard most of what that was about Dean's driveway.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
okay.
All
right.
The backhoe, we nearly lost the backhoe when it fell into a mud patch, but that's another issue. But
okay.
The driveway is not where it's supposed to be. And if it's going to stay where it is, then it needs to be readdressed by Kelly for having the water drain away from the cul-de-sac, not into it.
Okay. Okay, so do you want me to draft a letter to send to him?
Yeah, well, we can have Donna do it as well. Very simple.
No, I can do it because I'm kind of familiar with him, and I can, and I know the little bit of the history there. So, all right, I'll get the details from either Donna or from you, Jay, or Kelly, and then I'll take care of that either today or tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy.
Good luck, Kathy.
All right, thank you. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Go ahead, Ian. You're up.
Okay, so I mean, I'll just address that real quick. We went up and took a look at that. We did shut the water main off at the intersection of Biasca and Adelboden for about 15 minutes, and we had no reduction in flow up there. So it's, you know, it's really hard to say what's going on up there. I know, I think you mentioned, Kelly, that you guys have had water issues up there in the past. I think it was expounded by digging that road up, and you know, it's you know, it made it soft up there, or whatever the situation was. We did find that there is, you know, I don't know if it's a complete coincidence, but just sweeping around with a metal detector, it looks like there's a, I don't know if it's a curb valve or not, because the top's cleaned off from it, and it could just be a metal pin. But in that same vicinity, there is some piece of metal. We'd have to excavate it to find out, you know, what we've got going on there. But like I said, we did shut the main off and see no difference in flow there. So it's you know, trying to decide if that is or is not a water main, you know, a water leak. It doesn't seem so, but that's a pretty, you know, preliminary situation. I could shut it off for a longer portion, you know, maybe go for half an hour or 45 minutes with some notice to people and see where we're at on that. But so anyway, I don't know if you got more to put in on it, Kelly.
Yeah. With regard to finding a piece of metal there somewhere in the ground, you haven't dug it up yet. Did you also notice that there's a 1-inch service line that's tucked away in the woods right near that very same spot?
I did not see that.
Yeah, it's right in the woods at that very same spot. I had been in that area, and I'm like, my gosh, it looks like somebody had actually dug here and was getting ready to lay a service line to this property.
Yeah. Okay, so you're talking about the one that that it looks like he ran over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, I did see that.
Because it's been there for many years.
Oh, it's been there for many years. Okay. I might not be thinking of the same thing.
Yeah, it's not buried, yeah.
Well, we can put a little more effort into it. I mean, the water main's 40 feet from where, you know, give or take, I'm going to, you know, complete guess here, but we're about 40 feet from the water main to where that leaking location is. Obviously the water main's blasted in the ledge. My expectation would be that if it was to, you know, if we had a leak on that, it would come up pretty directly just because it would have to fight the ledge upward, and then that's where it would end up surfacing. Not to say that's a guarantee by any stretch. You know, how we found ledge, 1.5, 2.5 feet deep in that area, we've seen this in other areas where, you know, the water travels along the ledge and it can pop right up out of the ground. I mean, and you know, it is, you've got a small quote-unquote boil coming up out of the ground. And I don't know, Kelly, if it's possible, if you go look at it and see if it looks different than what you saw the other day, maybe just verify how, you know, if there was any change to it, that, you know, just because I didn't see what you saw, and it, you know, see if it looks like it's reduced quite a bit after that, you know, 3 inches of rain we got. But preliminary, I'd say we don't have a leak there, but yeah, there are some oddities I'd like to kind of investigate a little bit more up there.
Yep. My question, I guess, is if you're not going to dig, I need to address the sinkhole and pack it with gravel or do something to make it drivable.
So then, and that's what we run into, is I'm just not sure, you know, like the issues we've had in some other areas, if you could throw gravel at it all day, if there's water, whether it be from the main or from, you know, I guess runoff or whatever it might be, you know, if you're just going to be fighting that never-ending battle. I can't give you that answer right now. I wouldn't say off my initial work that we've got a leak there, but you know, then you get into the larger issue of, is that just always going to be wet? And again, I might have misunderstood you, but it sounds like that's always been an area that's been wet for you in the past.
That driveway has always had water. It's never affected the road. I think you're okay. Right. I think the digging exacerbated the issue. It must have been wet when it was filled back in. I wasn't there, so I guess I don't know why that one hole was dug by the edge of that driveway. I can see where a trench was cut all the way across the road further up. That's wet also. That's understandable. But that one hole where we moved that big pile of dirt, that is deep. And that's I don't even know how I address that. You're right. Gravel may not do it.
Yeah. Let me pop in on and take another look at it and spend a little more effort on it. I know you've got, you're short on time. But yeah, like I said, preliminary here, we're going to have to go with that's not a water break or water loss, even though, you know, I know it's, that's, you know, that that's all I can offer for the moment.
Does that blue PVC pipe on the side of the driveway up against that tree mean anything to you?
It didn't, no.
Okay.
Because we're off on the other end where the blow off is, so I'm not exactly sure what the heck he might have pounded that for, potentially where he wanted his line. I'm not sure.
Whenever I see something painted blue, I think water, and it just
yeah. No, I hear you. So we've got that. Obviously, we've been able to hold off on bleeders. Are we good on that for the moment? You guys, is there anything else on that?
Well, if you're going to go look at it, Ian, just give me a call if I'm around. I'd like to look at it with you.
Yeah, I could probably do it this afternoon, Kelly, if you guys are around.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, all right, I'll give you a jingle. You usually leave by 3?
Yeah, we stopped to close up, yeah.
Okay, all right, so I'll try to get a hold of you before then if I can. I'll be coming back from New Hampton, so we'll see if we can meet up. But let's see, bleeders we've been able to hold off on, and I don't really foresee us doing it in the very, very near future. The weather's still holding off where, I mean, our biggest concern is getting into frozen ground, and we're not there yet. So as long as we can dig freely through the ground, snow's not really an issue or anything. So, you know, sometime in the next few weeks, probably this through December, we'll get the bleeders going. Outside of that, I mean, we didn't have outside of the, you know, obviously in November, we dug the burn line or whatever. I can't remember if it's 8 burn or 8 Edelweiss drive, but get that in.
Edelweiss.
Yeah, if we don't have really a lot on the docket, obviously through the winter, we'll do pump maintenance. We talked about the Ryanac pump station. We also had issues up at Summit on the during that same storm because we had power outages at Oak Chicorua Summit. So we had some issues up there. Those are all taken care of now as well. So just another, you know, overflow situation, but no issue there. That's all good. Yeah. Pretty basic month. So.
All right. As far as leak detection for next year, Ian, and I guess we use a Granite State Rural Water Services. Is that correct?
Granite State Rural Water. Yep.
Yeah. Any plans on what segment of the system you might be putting leak detection to next year?
We have a pretty basic intersection valve intersections that we're going to use. There's like 6 or 8 of them. I can probably find that in my folder for you guys and shoot it back over. But we'll do a broad. We'll go to almost every section. You know, the toughest place we have to do is Edelweiss Drive, just because the isolation of it's next to impossible. So, you know, without obviously shutting down the entire system. So we actually kind of go all over the system and then look for, you know, any abnormality and then hone in from there. So let's just say we'll go do the Oak section that's feeding down towards Como and Hutwill and Burn. And you know, if there's a 5 gallon per minute drop, we don't worry about it. If there's a 45 gallon per minute drop, then we, you know, continue down that pathway and find more valving towards the end of it and work our way back towards that intersection. So, you know, in the same way, we can do Interlaken, which has always been, you know, our major areas have always been, Interlaken's the, you know, middle shore and Interlaken have historically here been our biggest crux. So we kind of always go to that zone and then the Hutwill zone. And but there's numerous others. You know, we'll do Upper Lakeview, we'll do Oak sections of Oak Ridge, and so anything that's called quote unquote relatively easy to shut down without having a system wide outage, we'll go through and then hone down from depending on what we find on that.
Okay, and in regards to current water usage, are you seeing any uptick in water usage?
We actually had a very substantial drop probably in the last couple of weeks since, you know, we'll say summer ended. We had actually dropped all the way down to 75,000 a day between, you know, combo between the two wells, which is the lowest I can, you know, remember seeing in a good clip. So, you know, obviously with an abnormal summer with a lot more people up, you know, with the COVID situation and, you know, people spending more time in their second homes and everything else, I think, you know, we saw a pretty general, we saw an uptick throughout the summer, but we did actually see a good drop off once school started back up. So pretty normal, you know, par for the course as far as, I mean, again, it doesn't change it. I'm sure we have pretty substantial water loss throughout the system, but it's keeping pretty close to the normal, you know, the normal at loss. You know what I mean? We haven't seen a huge jump or anything like that.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, go ahead, Kelly.
While I got you, we have an ongoing issue, and I know you know about it too. When we do these road projects, typically months later, after settling or weather,
yes,
it needs additional work. I'm not opposed to completing that work. What I'd like to do, my solution to this problem would be charging the water system for my department's time.
I think without a doubt, that would be the most cost-effective way to go about it. You know, inevitably, when we have these dirt roads, we're going to have settling from time to time when we can't compact it. I mean, there's just no way around it. So now, you know, if we can get him there on another one when we have time to, you know, do a cleanup, then great. If not, then, you know, yeah, utilizing the DPW that's there every day with the materials there, I think would be – I don't want to put this on your shoulders by any means, Kelly, if you didn't want it. And I'm sure you don't want it, but if you're willing, we'll take you up on it, because I think that without a doubt, cost wise, we'll be saving money having you do that work for us.
I think it's the right thing to do, Ian. It is more work, but it's just the most common sense thing. No sense having a contractor come back and additional cost to do this. But the one thing I'd like to end that with is when these projects are done, before they're called complete, I'd like to look at them. To make sure that other messes weren't created at the same time.
I think it's a good idea. We used to do that in the past.
Yeah, I'd like to take a look at it and say, yeah, we're good to go. Or I wouldn't call it an inspection, but some of these projects,
no,
left, or ditches are filled, or brushes left,
yep,
or things that should be completed with the project before it's all complete. I don't know if you'd have a problem with that, but a phone call.
Not at all.
Yeah, I think that would help.
Sounds good to me. I mean, as long as we can, yeah, we'll line them up with you guys and have you kind of do a walkthrough before the end of the day.
That'd be great. You know, I'm not making this decision as a commissioner, but I think using my department to complete these is the most cost-effective. But I will have to charge the water system for my travel and our time.
As long as they're fine with that, I'm certainly fine with that.
Well, how do you feel about that?
So would we know in advance how much time? And I mean, obviously, we know how much we pay you, but I mean, how?
Sure.
And what budget that would come, you know, which line item in water that would come out of?
It would be the repair budget. So we have our, I would assume, it would come out of our repair budget.
Yeah. I mean, my question is, Jay, do we even have to do that? Like, can we just, I think we should know what it is. Yeah, I'd like to know how much time, because I don't want it to be that we're doing that and other things are not getting done that need to get done. You know, it's just a matter of balance, I guess.
I think we're probably looking at maybe 2 to 3 on a bad year, 4 road crossings that would need to be addressed.
Okay.
You know, depending on how many we did. So I don't think you're talking about a big number here.
Yeah.
I mean, Kelly would, I'm guessing they'd have maybe an hour or two into it. What's the cost of gravel or any other, you know, if they need stone or whatever. To get those touched up for. So my assumption is we're not probably talking major funding, but I think it's, you know.
What's the alternative to them doing it then, Ian? Do you have somebody else?
Is having
do it,
Dawson
or?
Come back for like a cleanup day after, what things all settle out, and then having him come back in at his cost.
As long as it's not something that Dawson should be doing within the scope of the contract they've already got. You know,
sure,
I don't want
paying
for our guys to do work that Dawson was contracted to do in the first place. Shouldn't they be doing the cleanup?
At this end of it, where we're talking about settled roads and things, no, there's no way around that, right? That is what it is that's going to happen when we have a wet hole and we can't compact it. You know, you do what you can with the bucket, but at the end of the day, you're going to have some settling on those. I think that what Kelly just hit on with these end of job cleanups, that's going to be on Dawson's shoulders at the day of the job, not, not, you know, something that needs to be come back to. So it's two separate issues. I think it's more of a just general job cleanup at the end of it versus settling and you know, issues that you're going to run into when, you know, you just – they're not on site every day. It's not something you can, okay, this was wet yesterday, let's go back tomorrow and put more gravel to it and take care of it. It's something that, you know, that which happens, you know, I mean, and Kelly can speak to that. When they dig a culvert, they probably got to go back and, you know, address it again in a few days if they had any issues with water or anything like that. You just, it's just what it is. So those are two completely different issues, and then Dawson would be responsible for that on the day, you know, if there's some rocks left on the side of the road or ditching that wasn't put back to Kelly's, you know, liking or the way it was or whatever, he can hit those on that day and they can be responsible for that. Stuff like coming back to a, you know, a road with a 4-inch depression or something from settling would be more of what Kelly's saying he would take on as a you know, to make it so we're not incurring that cost to have them come back for that.
Yeah, Jay, I mean, that makes sense to me, Jay, as long as we think it's something that Dawson shouldn't be doing anyway. I mean, that's my question is, if that's part of the project, that always happens, then shouldn't that be built into the original project that they would always come back and settle things up? I mean,
you guys pay for Dawson on a T&M basis, time and materials basis, when we do these waterline connections. It's not a set. Although it typically ends up being about the same. There's always some differences. You know, if they get a haul in different sets of equipment because it was a wet job, or if they need more material because of this, that, or the other, more time, whatever, you actually don't have a set cost on it. So it's all done by T&M. So if they come back, it would be done at T&M.
I understand.
Can I ask a question? Would that come out of the water hookup fee? Because usually that's just a new water line being put in.
That sounds like it would make sense. Yeah. If it's from, because there's going to be repairs too, you know, I mean, this can happen when we have a wet hole because we had a leak and we can't compact.
Yeah.
That would be a repair. If it's through a water line that got installed, then yeah, that would make sense from budgeting purposes. We would take it out of that same fee that the you know, the original cost.
The $8,000 fee. Yeah.
Right. That makes sense.
Just a thought. I don't know.
Yeah. That sounds like a good thought, Donna.
Okay.
All right. Anything else, Ian?
No, I'm reading down the agenda. I see that on Kathy's platter for me, we had the Badger meters and so those are ordered. I got confirmation on that. So those you guys should be seeing a bill for those here shortly.
Okay.
It's not coming from me. It'll be coming directly from Stiles.
Yeah, those are the
right. They
ones.
Get to.
Okay.
Yeah. And
those are the replacement that I stole, that I took from with the original Summit project and put them on Chikorawa. So I don't know if that had already been built to the Summit project, but these two need to be either built to Chikorawa if we haven't built that one, or Summit if we haven't built that one.
Yeah.
Right. We switched them, Ian, and I think Kathy was I think money-wise, if we would taking it out of that line of credit loan is what she was going to ask.
I think what we have to. I think the biggest thing is making sure that it's inside of this fiscal year. So you guys will have that. Yeah. So that'll be that shouldn't be any problem at all, and we'll, you know, go from there on it. But that they should be on their way.
Okay, and that was her question, Ian.
Yep.
Yeah. So Ian, being the last month of the year, my question to you regarding our finances is: do you have any big ticket items? Clockwise that we should be aware about for the fiscal 2020 year that we may actually.
I would only say that if we had, if we have money in my repair budget, I'd like to put it towards DPW, you know, safety structure down there as far as raising the tanks up, stuff we've talked about in the past, putting in an actual chem sink. But as far as me giving you guys a big bill, the only thing we've got is the, you know, the work from last month, which would be billed here coming up for the number 8 Idlewise drive connection. But as far as this month coming up, the only expenses you should be seeing are going to be for, you know, a couple of little service calls here, there, and then the bleeders. So there's no major expenses or work planned. I, in the past, have always billed you guys exactly the same. So I don't send you a bill in December. I send you, you know, for December, I send you a bill in January. And so you still have 12, although it's offset by a month, it's still 12 billing periods toward the fiscal year. So if you guys want to have a change to that, I can on, say, December 31st or December 30th send you a bill for that, for the month of December, if you want that.
Okay, we can talk about that. The other question I had, you just raised the raising of the tank inside the camera room and the wash station. I know I've talked to you before about this. Can you just send us the office real quick some cost estimates of what it might take to do that?
Yep. No, but yeah, I don't foresee it being a major project at all. I mean, I think we're probably talking in a couple grand ballpark, as opposed to a couple. So yeah, but yeah, I'll get you some info on that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Perfect.
All right. You have anything for Ian? Don or Lynn?
Nope.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, I will, Kelly, I'll touch base with you a little later today. If we can try to hook up either today or tomorrow, I'll be able to get together with you. So I'll try it when I'm coming back from New Hampton, see what time it is.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too, Ian. Thank you. All right. Kelly, you.
All right. I'm not giving anybody else my spot. That's it.
Come on.
No, I miss you too much, daughter. I'm leaving.
Kelly, did you get the new health update? And are you any more questions? Are you good to go? We need it signed by the 8th of December.
Yeah, we got them, and we're going to sign them, and we'll have them up here tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you, Paula. I know you were instrumental in doing this, and I appreciate it.
Thank everybody. Everybody voted for it. I just,
We do appreciate things, and I know it's tough crying nails from the hardwood that I don't like this, but we do appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, so 17 East Bergamo Road, driveway permit. He's putting a driveway right through the 19, otherwise it's on the class 6. That's a whole other story, but I'm recommending a 15-inch by 20-foot culvert with a negative grade to road. It's pretty basic and simple. That can go.
Okay. I'm just going to take a quick look at the drawing. Again, this may be where wetlands, this area up in there has significant wetlands. So what's included in the driveway permit, for people that don't know, is the actual septic design. So I'm just looking at this real quick. If it is a stone wall, I understand that. This is 17. Yeah. I don't see any wetlands. And you're saying this is next to 19?
Yeah, before 19, it's on the corner of Dorfly, I believe.
Dorfly. And so this is class 5, right?
Class 5.
East Bergamo.
Pretty straightforward. Probably pretty simple lots.
Yeah. So his driveway is on East Bergamo, so his address will be East Bergamo, or is already East Bergamo. All right. So not seeing any impacts to wetlands, this may have required another variance. And it's interesting, too, but sometimes the septic designer or the homeowner does not realize when they have to go for variance, as was the case in another East Bergamo application last hearing at the ZBA. So I'm just going to go ahead and sign this. Now, the other half, this is the driveway inspection report. The other half will be the driveway completion report. What are we calling it?
I don't know if we ever completed the whole process of how we're going to do that.
Yep.
We can talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
In 7 years, I think I've gotten one driveway completion.
Right.
You fill out.
Well, that's the case, as you just mentioned earlier, where Kathy's going to take care of it, which is number 7 Biasca, where the driveway was not installed, where it was approved to go, which is now, and I was up there yesterday when you called me up, causing a serious problem with runoff onto our road from that area. So he's going to basically, if he wants to leave the driveway where it is, reapply, and then we'll have to readdress the drainage from that new location.
So, otherwise, the recommendation would be that I block the driveway.
Yeah.
Because the driveway doesn't belong there. It has to be up to you guys to come to do that.
Right.
But to protect that road, we need to move the water.
Yeah.
Not at our cost.
Exactly. Yeah.
So hopefully they will feed the letter.
Yep.
And get it done before frost.
Yeah.
But the driveway permit, anyone can get a driveway. It doesn't mean they can build.
Right.
They can get access to their property. So that's all I'm involved with, is the access to the property. Right. So we got that. We have a problem at 16 Huntwell. There's no house there, but there were trees cut. They've been left on the side of the road. I give people time to clear these things. He's had plenty of time. We have snow issues coming. I think we need to send a letter to prompt the homeowner to get these trees removed as quickly as possible.
Okay.
I don't know the owner. I don't know who. It's an empty lot. But 14 is just before it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is 16. I can't, I don't know.
Okay, I'll double check as well.
Yeah, but those are the go.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to make sure, Donna or Lynn, can you find out who owns that property, and then we can just generate a very simple letter that the trees that were cleared from your lot and stocked on the side, both sides of Huntwell Drive, need to be removed for winter snow plowing operation.
Okay.
Simple as that.
Yeah. Can we just go ahead and, approve that to go out before we have to see it next week and sign it? Let's not lose another week. Yeah.
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 I'll make
that motion. Just find out who they are.
That's if we can check the property list spreadsheet for a mailing address, because I'm on the website. It's just the 16 Huntwell Drive. I don't have any information. So I'll have to, if we can't follow, we'll have to follow up with the town, Lynn, okay?
Okay.
Just go ahead and, get the letter up. We have to make a motion or not, but let's just get the letter out this week before, so it doesn't sit for a week.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we got snow coming this weekend.
Yes.
Go ahead, Kelly.
Okay. You know what? That's all I got. You guys fire away.
Serious? That's all you got?
Things, it's quiet time. We're upgrading roads. We had a reprease. We're getting rid of some potholes before the damage comes, and even a little drainage that we didn't catch up on, so we got a little extra time. Our new truck is ready to be picked up. We'll probably get that tomorrow morning, and we will have a full fleet. We'll have to talk about the big truck in the near future, because that truck's time is running out, not for next year, but I'd say a two-year plan would be to replace that truck. I hate to be the bearer of news, but we all knew that was coming.
Yep.
And otherwise, we're ready. I ordered more salt today. That should fill us up last time. And we've got plenty of sand, so we're ready for it to come. We're actually welcoming it.
All right, so just something that I was working on from last week. So I looked into how to sell the old 550. And there is a website, website, that's what I went to, called municibid.com. And what it does is it sells municipal surplus vehicles from towns and municipalities in the state of New Hampshire. So I looked into some of the vehicles that are for sale that are similar in age and size to our Ford F-550, and saw numbers of vehicles, and they were all dump bodies except for one that had a plow. But they range anywhere from $8,000 up to maybe $20,000. The one that had the plow, I believe, was an $8,000 figure. There was another one, which was a Chevy, and it basically said engine has serious problems, but drivetrain is still working. So that's an engine replacement. So anyhow, I've asked Kelly to maybe gather some data on the 550, and because there's a certain minimum of requirement of, mileage, features, options, things like that. So we're going to try to put that together as a draft and then bring it before the Board of Commissioners, so that we can approve to get that out onto a website like this or this one, and see if we can't move that truck.
Sounds great.
Do you
Do you have any comments, Kelly?
Yeah, that's an option. The second option is to just put it in the paper with a sealed bid, well, most towns do. Either way, it's going out as, you know,
as is
and as shown. You could put a minimum bid in if you did it through the paper, I'm sure, but I have a standing offer from someone for $6,000. I would, if we were going to put a bid, I'd put a minimum of $6,000 because we know we're going to get that. But I know we need to put it out to everyone first. It's all up to you. I know a lot of people use the government surplus. They take a cut for doing that, so we won't get full used value because they do get a percentage. I don't know what it is of the sale. But they do have long-reaching arms they can get across the state to someone who might want it. So however much effort we want to put into it.
And that's what I'll try to gather as far as information is, what is the website's take on the vehicle price? And then the other option would be to go and do a advertisement in the paper, local, and do a minimum bid amount and see if we get any bites. Okay?
Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Anything else, Kelly?
No.
Paul, you have anything for Kelly? Paul, Donna, Lynn? Okay.
No. Nope.
And you're
going to need slips, Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I'll have them. I'll give them to Lynn tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Wow. Okay.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm going to get out of here before I go. Is there something else on here? No, that was it.
Those are forms you have to sign just if you're making a change.
Okay. Well,
that's for the insurance company, not for.
Okay. So what did you sign before? Did you sign up for the cheaper?
Have
that's the option for plan.
Oh, okay.
I'll leave that with the office. This is the actual insurance company.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
we'll get all that done.
Great.
All right. So if you don't need me, I prefer to get out of here.
Yeah, I think we're all set.
Thank you.
Okay. Perfect. All right, I'm going to defer to Donna and Lynn, administrative report.
Hi, sorry, it's Paul. I was off for about 2 minutes. I disconnected by mistake.
Oh, it's all right. Yeah, Kelly's just leaving, that's all.
Okay. Bye, Kelly.
He's going to get those health trust forms filled out.
Yep.
And bring
okay.
them back.
Yep, perfect. Okay.
All right, Donna and Lynn, you're up.
There's one thing that I discovered when people send in driveway applications. I don't know, I think it's in the ordinance or the application, which are together, so it's all
right.
Part of the ordinance. For item 2 on page 1, it says a state-approved septic design. And Donna was wondering why we have to get a letter now, and that should be listed in the application instruction. So it's a state-approved design letter. Is that right, Donna?
I had a the driveway that's getting approved today. He was disagreeing with the wording of the application because I told him we needed the approved letter from DES. And he says, no, just the stamped drawings were what we needed. And I said, well, not according to, you know, our application. And what the application says is a stamped drawing plus the approval from DES. Which is normally the letter.
Right.
So I don't know if we can just change the wording or, I mean, he did get the letter. I mean, the letter is nothing to get, you know, it's so easy to get from DES because the plans are stamped. But we
right.
need the letter for the approval.
Yeah, so
it's
that's
just
great.
A wording thing, you know, just so that it's there. He was giving me a hard time because, you know, he wanted it done as soon as possible because he was already getting his equipment lined up. So that was our question. If we could just, you know, change it to put it in the letter.
Yeah. Just putting in the letter and not the drawing? Is that what he's asking?
No. Just the wording of the application,
okay.
The ordinance. is just the state approved letter, DES letter.
Yeah, because to be honest with you, a stamped drawing simply means the drawing is completed by an engineer. It has not been reviewed by DES.
Yeah.
So that letter from DES would be required, because if we give a driveway permit based on a stamped engineer's drawing and DES rejects it, then we've allowed construction to begin on something that does not have an approved septic plan.
Right, so that is important.
So, yeah, we have to make sure that the application and the ordinance both have that approved DES letter in addition to the stamp.
Yeah, it just says...
An ordinance.
That's part of the ordinance, so we'd have to wait for the ordinance hearings. Yep.
Okay. So we'll put that in for new ordinance that should be changed.
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
Donna sent out the final notice for water usage bills, saying that we have the option to cut off the water without further notice.
Right. And I did we not discuss going to NHMA to find out if we could? I'm trying to remember what it was. There was something with NHMA we were supposed to do from last meeting.
I got to find out the RSA for the municipality. I'll write that down. Yep.
Okay. And let's see, health trust forms for employees, we talked about that. Driveway application, we talked about that. Noreen Downs, Madison's TV Zoom meetings. So that's a good idea.
I had touched base with her yesterday because of, we weren't meeting. And she's the one that suggested that they have the Zoom meeting, that they can be recorded also. There is I looked it up and it was $149.90 for 100 attendees with unlimited, time. Whereas the free version of Zoom, it's, only 40 minutes for a meeting.
Yep.
So, going forward with what's happening, it might be a platform that is more transparency to the village homeowners, if that's something that the board would like to look into.
Yep. Okay, so here's what I thought about that real quick, and I just walked over behind Lynn. So the camera that would be used to videotape our meetings would be the camera on the laptop, which is what Lynn or you would be using to take the minutes. Am I correct?
I'd have to look into it, Jay, to be honest. I know
it would be everybody's camera. I mean, on their laptop.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if I would
that,
be sitting
yeah,
there in my house, it would record me, it would record whoever. The idea was that nobody is. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't need to, I don't know, you don't need to be in the office. I mean, you don't need to be there today. It's up to you if you want to do it from there. But it would be better if you did it from home.
I have the on the desktop, there is a camera. It's hanging off the shelving.
Yes.
So
everyone would have to be on their own computer. I mean, the problem is you really don't want two people on different cameras in the office recording because the audio gets all screwed up. I think when I've had that situation with home video, when I've done these things with people, if you have two people on different computers in the same room, you just want only one of them should have their speaker on because it just gets a little muffled.
Okay.
I mean, the idea is that everybody is at a separate location, and it would be the checkerboard, and the same thing. If anybody calls in from outside, they would be on video as well, recording.
There's a recording of the meetings that you hit a record meeting and it records the whole meeting for you.
I mean, it's the same as we're doing now. It's just video instead of audio. And I guess my question is do we need is it more transparent? I don't know. I mean, maybe then people can see who's talking. might be easier for people.
Yeah.
I don't know. She recommended it. I just wanted to put it forward to you so that something to think about.
All right.
Yeah. You know, it's harder when people, for me, the harder part, I guess you can still mute, is that, you know, for people like who have other people in their household.
Yeah.
You know, it just becomes a little bit more invasive. I mean, as long as you can find a spot where you can, I don't really want my house projected, you know, to the world,
true.
But I can try and find a wall to sit in front of that's pretty nondescript, I guess, or a window.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, for the annual meeting, if we had to, you know, do something, you know, in that aspect. That's my thought process.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because we may actually be headed that way.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you know,
I think, yeah.
Yeah, well, just quickly too, I was thinking that Kelly, he just has the tablet, right? So I don't think he'd
it's
be
a
able
Chromebook.
To.
Yeah, you can do it as long as it's not, you can do it on a tablet, you can do it on your phone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I guess the question is it really, is it necessary?
Is it cost effective?
It's a lot, I don't know.
Okay. All right, just like I said, she told me that's how they do their meetings, and she just wanted me to be aware of it, that's all.
Yeah, okay. So just from my history standpoint, when I went to the ZBA hearing last month, they had one laptop in the gymnasium. So they basically had to turn it around and face the audience every time someone from the audience spoke, and then turn it around back at them every time they were addressing the members of the board, because there were other members of the board that were remote. So it was a little convoluted. Now, they also used the laptop there in the gymnasium they held drawings in front of it. And I don't know if everyone was able to see very clearly what was being discussed. They tried, but, I mean, that's how it worked. And I didn't see it as being the best. Obviously, I've been in a lot of Zoom meetings years ago where you actually post the drawing as a file and you could open it up in everybody's screen and they could zoom in or do whatever they wanted to. I don't think we're at that level yet. So,
yeah.
And you can do that. I do Zoom calls where people share their screens and stuff. But, I mean, we don't, I don't know. I just don't think that's really necessary at this point. People can request any of the files that we're looking at if they want them.
Yep. Exactly. All right. I want to jump to, if everybody's okay with that discussion, we can think about it and then get back to Nora.
Yeah.
I do believe we should.
Oh, we don't have to get back to Noreen. It's just our something that we can, a format we could do.
Okay. All right. I want to jump to accounts payable. We have 11 checks for a total of $3,707.77. So if anybody's playing lottery, the number 7 is C. Okay, good. I was going to ask the question if any of those new invoices from Jones and Beach were in this manifest, and I see they are not.
No, that would have been the water project manifest, Jay.
Exactly.
I sent them out, you know, asking the question before I paid them.
And I'm going to have
the only thing. The only question I had, or I think I want you to comment on for the meeting, is the health trust. We were charged for December. We thought we were not going to get charged. I think we thought we were going to get a credit or was going to apply.
No, what had happened is they mailed the surplus to us, which is attached.
From them.
Yeah, which was attached to the back of the invoice, Jay, for $2,012 and something cents. So, and that went into it was deposited into the health trust account. So
it
just
it offsets
right.
Okay. Just want to be we've said something else is going to happen, so I just want to be clear for the record that this is how it works.
Yes,
okay.
They cut a check instead of deducted it. Yep.
Okay. And there's also, just so you guys know, there was a check for me for $12. I bought a stamp at Staples for the office passed to, we can stamp our bills with now when people are overdue.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
That's on the memo of the check to Paula, just so that that's,
yep.
you know, clear.
Thanks, Claire. Okay.
Yep. All right.
Okay.
I'll have Lynn go ahead and read off the checks.
I thought we weren't reading the checks.
Oh.
The
yeah.
Okay. So yeah.
People
we have
can
that.
Request what the manifest if they want to see it. I don't have
yep.
any questions on the manifest.
So I'm in the process of signing the checks. Paula, if you could come down afterwards and do so as well. So just
yep.
in the spirit of time, while I'm signing these checks, I'm going to move on to payroll.
Yep, that was fine.
$5,579.17. $5,717.97.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve that amount for payroll. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor,
say
aye.
I don't think the motion was made for the manifest, Jay.
Yeah.
It wasn't, and I'm about to do that now.
Okay.
So on the payroll, do we have a – I vote yes on the payroll?
Yeah, I voted yes.
Okay, and now for the manifest, 11 checks for $3,707.77. I'll make a motion
okay.
that we approve the manifest, seconded by
I'll
Paul.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you. And I'll give this back to you, Lynn. And moving right along, we're down to signature items, and we have the audit agreement for Plazek and Sanderson's.
Yeah, this is the original copy you sent.
Okay.
We signed the copy last time, and I did even scan it and email it to them, but they weren't the original done.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay.
What's the
right
issue
page?
Here? We didn't have a second signature on it. Was that
well,
the problem?
Well, they sent the original copy. What they had sent us before that's the original document. What they had sent before was a copy of it for your review,
uh-huh.
and now they
okay.
want a signed copy.
Okay. So they're looking for two signatures here. A letter that's worth understanding of the village district provider wise, the management signature, and a governance. Signature.
Did we figure out? We didn't know what that meant, did we?
No, we tried to work on that, Paul. But I think Jay signed the first line and you signed the second.
Can you call them today, Lynn, and just clarify who's who? Just
ask
them what that means.
Yeah, I think
I don't know
the commissioners would be the management signature, and the governance would be the treasurer. Separation of duties.
So we need Dinah to sign it then.
Yeah.
I need clarification on that too.
So then I don't need to sign it if Jay signs the management signature. He said he's
no,
the chairman of the board.
Isn't it?
Say that again.
Okay. There was two signatures that were needed. That's one. Lynn, one was for the. For a commissioner, and the other one was for the other person?
Well, one was for management, the other one was for governance. Last time we signed the date for management, Paula signed the governance.
I signed,
okay.
We didn't know what that meant, but if Jay's saying that means Dinah, we have to get Dinah, or we need to, why don't you just call them and ask them if that's what it means? And then if you need me to sign it, I'll sign it. If you need Dinah, just call Dinah and ask her to come and sign it. But why don't you call them first? Or email them and just ask them who's what that means, just to make sure.
Okay. That's all we have for signature items. I'm going to move down to commissioner's report. Paula, I'm going to pass the baton to you first because I'm still signing checks.
I don't have anything new. Obviously, the health trust, we've got – I had asked Donna when I talked to her just to clarify. We need something in writing from Nancy Cole, former employee who's on, to confirm which plan she wants to for this year. Even if it's not
yep.
a change, we don't want it just confirmed over the phone. So I asked them to reach out to her with an email, just ask her to say, yeah, I want to stay on the two-person plan. I think it's our job as the employer, former employer, to notify Health Trust of that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she needs to notify them, but we need to we need these things in writing. And I'm pretty sure that because she's on our plan, even through COBRA, we need to confirm that.
I think you're right. Having been on COBRA myself when I retired, yes, I believe you're right. It goes through the employer, and then they notify the insurance company.
So someone just needs to send her an email and say, this confirms that you are staying on the, can you please confirm that you're staying on the two-person plan or whatever plan she's on for 2021?
Okay. Can you get that picked up?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And let's see what I got in there, my correspondence. Okay, so we talked about the asset management grant. 47 Idlewise Drive. So I took some pictures after talking with Kelly. He said he's already done it. That was before Thanksgiving, which is when we discussed. Obviously, it hasn't froze up yet. Ground is still pretty warm. But I'll be honest with you, I went and took those pictures. Those pictures were taken after that 2 to 3 inch rainstorm. So,
oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Held up. Okay.
Yeah. And so that worked out great. And
so we just need to notify that attorney, send the photos and just let the attorney know.
Yeah, I guess that's all he's asking for is when the work was done, and I think we could just send him the photograph.
I have that. Thank you.
Yeah. So can you do that, Donna and Lynn?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Correspondence from Robert Carey. Robert Carey.
That's him. That's the attorney.
Henderson.
Now, do I send that bill also that they still owe us on?
Yes. And that bill was modified, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right. So before we send that, the bill has to be, it's either with the file in or it has to be, produced, and I can walk you through that.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
And I see the pictures of the flooded pump house up at the top of Ryan Arc, and that obviously was taken care of in Ian's report. And then the abandoned vehicle on Bristol Stock, very short and sweet. So PD, Madison PD, I went with him for a walk yesterday. We went and found the vehicle. The license plates that were inside on the dashboard did not belong to that vehicle. There was no inspection. Everything was out of date, but we did trace it back to the owner of the lot. The vehicle is owned by the wife of the lot owner, so legally it can be there. But I'm going to look a little further into whether you can just abandon vehicles on your property, even if it's just a wooded lot, because my concern is that the gas and oil in that vehicle will make its way down to the big pond because there's a lot of water running in that area. So that's all taken care of. Thank you, Madison PD. And
right.
We don't have...
Thanks for doing that, Jay.
Oh, no problem. That's only 15 minutes. We talked with Mark. I appreciate Mark calling in with his expertise and helping to educate us and sharing and listening to our concerns. So we have 26 Hutwell Drive, 39. That's all part of Mark. Do we have anything else for this meeting, business-wise?
Something about the portal and quick certificates.
Oh, yeah, that was Kathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
the what?
The encryption for the portal, the canoe kayak portal.
Yeah.
So basically, that's like a website, right? So it's like a website. It's a portal where users can go into it. Of course, the website, most websites need to be encrypted. Right now, this Encrypt Now service is free. And I just want to make sure that Donna and Lynn are comfortable with the hash algorithms that will be changing and some of the keys that will be changing in the next foreseeable future, according to the host site.
Well, we did forward it to Andrew.
Yeah.
So he'll get back to
us. Yeah.
It's for the kayak portal, so that we have time.
Right. I guess my concern is Did anybody, commissioners or office, know that this was an encrypted host site?
Yes. It has been. There's a time limit on the encryption. I dealt with Andrew back a while back. I don't know how long, and he just has to renew it. So I don't know anything with the portal. I'm just with the call centric with Andrew, but I know he's done that in the past. So we'd have to find out what the steps are so that we can take, I guess, deal with it.
Yeah, and that's where I was going because, you know,
I said, I know he was going to work with me for the portal because that was something that I was never, when it first was upload and everything, was privy to, and then with the time constraints, Kathy and him like dealt with that. So,
I just want to share to your point, Donna, that we have visibility to all of that in the office because, you know, what happened to our former administrator, it can happen to any one of us.
Yeah. The way Andrew said, told me about the call centric was that he gets the same emails as we do because he himself is a call centric. That's what he uses at his home. So he just notifies us when and just see if there's any messages on call centric, which, you know, I've been doing since I spoke with them, if there's any plan changes or whatever. That's the only reason, he just lets me know when he gets a new email, basically. He emails the office. So going forward, now I know.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that he's able to transfer his knowledge to you folks so that we can manage it here in the office between the two of you.
That's what we're working on.
Okay. All right. And I'll ask everyone around their devices if they've got anything else for this meeting business-wise. Otherwise, I'll open up to public comments.
We have one quote from the modern pest.
Yes, I'm sorry, that came in this morning.
Yeah. He's proposing that the current monthly fee is $37.50 now for the lodge.
Yeah.
The initial service here would be $200. Just a one-time equipment fee would be $207, and the monthly service fee would be $99.50. So the monthly service fee here plus the monthly service fee for the lodge, total of $137.
Okay, that's the total monthly fee.
So the lodge is $37 a month, and the office would be $99 a month?
Yes, because it's the office and the garages.
And the garage. Okay.
When the modern pest guy came in on Tuesday, he says it was mice. It wasn't anything bigger. That when the new heating, air conditioning system was put in, the drilling of the holes is a hole in there and they can come right up in it. So that I would say needs to be blocked and we can just, I don't know. We're always going to get, mice because of the garage doors opening and closing. But if we could block that with like some of that spray foam, I think that would alleviate, 99% of the, problem.
And he said that there was access from the garage to the office for mice to get through.
Too. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
137 a month. Now, just go back. There was some initial cost there, $200.
For initial service, $200. You said to reach out with any questions so we can confirm this with him.
Okay.
And well, what's he going to do? Did he say what he's going to do? Did you tell him we can't? Like, how's he going to get rid of these? Is he just going to set traps and come and empty them? I mean, what's his plan for that kind of money?
monthly preventative management and treatment. Doesn't say exactly what it's going
to do. I don't know. This seems like a lot of money to catch some mud.
You did notify him that there's no poison to be used, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. I have to say, since I clean the office, and I don't, I'm kind of very, you know, if anything's brought in food-wise, we take the, you know, we take it home ourselves. We don't leave anything in the office. I haven't seen any droppings. You know, I clean the office on a regular basis, and I haven't seen any droppings since the office has been cleaned. So, you know, that's just, I don't know if it's, if mice is always going to be, unfortunately, running around because of the garage doors opening and closing. I don't think we can prevent, mice can get in any size hole, you know? Yeah. So if we just block the hole and go from there for now and see what, you know, if we have any more issues, I think we'd be better off, you know, down the road. But that's my thought process. I don't know.
All right. Yeah, what was the, there was a $200 initial fee and then a $200 and something.
$7 one-time equipment fee. That's probably for all the traps.
Yeah.
So I know they were going to set two at each garage door, and I'm not sure what he wanted to put upstairs.
Yeah, I agree with Paula and Donna that it seems to be that's a first month will be about $500 over $500.
Yeah.
And at that cost, I'd just rather go to the local vet and buy a cat. Yeah.
Well, that's nice. We didn't discuss that option.
Yeah.
I'm not. I mean, honestly, I think that we should let it go. If you guys haven't seen any evidence, I think I think you guys have to go back to the idea of like, if you see evidence that there's mice, either we can't force them to do traps, but I would ideally set a couple traps and catch them. That's what tends to happen with mice. You catch them, they're gone.
Yeah.
Once the snow settles in, they're not going to be able to get in. They're not going to probably come in.
Yeah.
You tend to get them, I think, this time of year when they're looking for somewhere to spend the winter. So, you know, and then in summer, usually it's not an issue. So I would look for evidence. If you see evidence that you got them and we can set some traps, I'll come empty the trap.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I mean, I think, though, the hole definitely where the new, that unit was put in should be spray foamed.
Do we have some of that? Because I have a bottle of that at home I could loan somebody
I don't,
could use.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have any,
I'll
that.
I'll come to the office today and bring what I have. I have a bottle of it, assuming it's still good.
Okay.
Drop it off when I sign stuff. If somebody could do that.
And steel wool. You always have to use steel
wool. Oh, steel
wire.
Wool, yep. Yeah.
Steel wool,
yeah.
Could you just spray the hole, Jay? Because I'm not going up the attic. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't feel comfortable going up the attic.
I'll take care of it. Is there anybody on the call that would like to chime in for public comment? Any questions, any concerns?
No, Dinah left. Are Paula, Donna, and you.
Okay.
And you.
All right, hearing none, I'd like to not adjourn the meeting, but make a motion, and I'm going to use that cheat sheet that Donna usually leaves in the back of the folder. Mm-hmm. To go into non-public under 91A, :3, section A. This is employee review. Do I have a second to that motion?
I will second that.
Okay. We can stay on the meeting if nobody calls in. Just don't record it.
Okay.
All right. We'll have the recording shut off, and then we will come.